There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, army of the Lord, raise it.
There is power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, just to break every chain. Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Hey, how many are seeing chains broken in your life? How many glad God is to Breaking Bad? How many are enjoying the series Breaking Bad? We are allowing God to break bad things in our life, bad cycles in our life, that God has come to break the bad chains in our life. And today, we are excited to continue in this series for part three of Breaking Bad. We've been talking about Jesus as a cycle breaker, that Jesus came to break cycles. And we see all through Scripture, when Jesus showed up, the bad cycles were broken. Whether it was a lady who was walking around for over 16 years, slumped over because she was unable to stand up, and it says that she was struck with an infirmity for many, many years. That's the way many of us are spiritually. We walk in, humped over, can't stand up because life has kicked you down and things have happened. The weight of the world is upon your shoulders. But one encounter with the Savior, he says, woman, you're loose today, that you can stand back up straight and say, God, you are carrying this burden. You are setting me free from my affliction. You are setting me free. Jesus is the cycle breaker. That he has come to break the bad cycles in our life. We talked about last week, we put the nuts and bolts to it and talked about different things that we need to do, that Jesus does his part and we need to do our part and allow God to do the rest. One of the things we talked about last week is we got to learn to keep certain people out of our sight, out of our circle, right? Keep certain people out of our circle so that we can stay out of our cycle. And that you have got to stop giving people permission to come in and keep you stuck at the place you're at. They keep you stuck emotionally, they keep you stuck spiritually. And you don't have to terminate them. You just got to eliminate them. You don't have to eliminate them. You just got to evict them, right? You know, God bless you, but you know, you no longer have a room in my house. You no longer have room in my sphere of influence. I'm not going to allow you to be that person who has that control over my life. I'm not going to allow you to be that person who is always bringing that negative spirit or bringing that spirit of addiction or bringing that same thing into my life. Certain people, we got to keep out of our circle so that we can keep out of our cycle, right? Okay, now we're talking about God does his part, we do our part. Today I want to talk about the question, how do you see it? That's really the big question today. When it comes to breaking this bad cycle in our life, how do we see it? What is a cycle, Pastor? A cycle is when we go around the same place and end up the same spot. We grow for a while, we feel God's changing us, but it seems like year after year, we find ourselves coming back to the same place of depression, the same place of spiritually immature, the same addiction, the same struggle, year after year after year, and we know God has never designed us to be that way. Jesus didn't die on the cross so I could stay stuck in my bad cycle, but he died on the cross to set me free from my sin and the power of sin in my life. And I don't have to live my life walking around in bad cycles. Yes, there may be a season of pruning. There may be a season of being planted, of being watered. But at some point, there's a season of growth where I go from glory to glory and I take it up a level. And I don't stay at the same level I was. Jesus came to break the bad cycles in our life. And we know this to be very true. So we asked the question today, how do you see it? Let's get right into our text, and then we'll get right into our teaching today. We're teaching out of Numbers chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verse 26 and go through 33, Numbers 13, 26. And we know this is a story of where God is taking the children of Israel out of control of Egypt and taking them to the promised land, on their way to the promised land. They've been wandering around in the desert looking, remember? And they came back. Moses sends out 12 spies, and this is what happens. They came back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them, and the whole assembly showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people there who live there, they're powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. When we saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites lived there, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, all these parasites. Ever feel like that in your life? All these parasites trying to bring you down? They named all the knights they could come up with. The Arabian knights. They were all there along the Jordan. Then look what Caleb said. Caleb silences the crowd. He says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. Now, let me just take a pause right here. I love Caleb, don't you? I love Joshua and Caleb. They bring the good report. You ever notice how everybody wants to name their kids Joshua and Caleb? We don't hear anybody wanting to name their kids after the 10 spies who brought back the bad report. Right? We just don't get that. But everybody wants to name their kid Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they brought back the great report. Let me say this to you. I want these kind of people around me in my life. This is who I want in my circle. I like having yes people in my circle. Well, Pastor, isn't that a little bad leadership just to only surround yourself with yes people? I'm not talking about people who are yes people because they're trying to brown nose. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who say, yes, we can. When I say, you know what, I think God has a bigger vision for us. Yes, he does, Pastor. I think we can obtain property on Rangeline when hardly any other church in town does it. Yes, we can, Pastor. We can get property on Rangeline. I believe, yes, we can build a building that's going to allow us to reach thousands of people in this community. Yes, we can, Pastor. I believe we can see a spiritual revival come to the four-state area, and Destiny Church can be a part of bringing that revival. Yes, we can. We can see young people who are on fire for God. We can see young adults who have a passion to spread the gospel. Yes, we can. We can break past our barriers, and we can have homes opening up and having Bible studies and fellowships in them, people becoming the New Testament church. And today, yes, we can. I like people say, yes, we can, Pastor. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's dream big. Let's let God be big in our life. This is how Caleb and Joshua was. They didn't cost you anything. Let's get back to our text today. But the men who had gone up, they interrupted Caleb and said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were a great size. It seems like we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Don't you love how negative reports just continue to flood and spread? I mean, this is a time before Facebook was there, social media. But the word of mouth of negative report, this thing spread faster than TMZ could get it out. It was a negative report going everywhere. You would thought Kanye had something to do with this report, but they just went out everywhere. It spread out the negative report everywhere. It travels fast. So let's pick up the story now. Let's think about it now. So Moses is born to a Hebrew woman in a time when the Israelites are held captive. They're being driven by the slave masters of the Egyptians and under Pharaoh's command, and he is overworking them, overtasking them, and they have been praying and crying out for years that God would send a deliverer. Now the prophets begin to raise up and say, God is sending a deliverer. The rumor began to spread that God was raising up a Hebrew child out of one of the slaves who was going to come, and he was going to be the deliverer. He was going to set the people free. Pharaoh gets word of this, so he sets out a decree saying, hey, let's just kill off all the young babies. All the baby boys, they're going to be killed off. They think the deliverer is rising up, but I'm going to squash that idea right now. I'm going to squash that dream. Let's kill off all the young babies. Kind of like what happened to Jesus this time, right? See, this is a prelude of what happened when Jesus was born. Remember, when Jesus was born, they set out the decree that all the male children under a certain age would be put to death. But so here's Moses' mom. She is there, and she's thinking, God, you have got to save my child. God, you have got to do something to save my boy. And she begins to pray and she begins to think. And all of a sudden, God gives her this great idea. She crafts a basket that would float out of sticks and she puts it together. And she goes down and she puts it in the Nile River and puts it just where she sees, just downstream. She knows exactly where that baby's going to float. And her baby son Moses floats right down to where Pharaoh's daughter just happens to be there. Just happens. How many think it was no accident? Now, she had a plan. You see, some of you here, you got to realize that when you are in trouble, that God's always got a way out. He wants you to use creative instincts that he's given you. He's got creative ways of you getting out of your turmoil. He's got creative ways of getting you out of your bad cycle. He's got creative ways that he wants to turn things around when they seem like there's no way. But one mom said, no, there's got to be a way. God, give me insight. And she places him in the basket and says that the Pharaoh's daughter sees him in the river. They pull him out. And she says, this is a Hebrew. Look at this cute Hebrew baby. Daddy, you are not killing this one. Dad, I'm keeping this one. And you ever think about laying a hand on this one? I will not be your daughter anymore. Mom! And so she makes it. She says, I'm keeping this Hebrew baby for myself. And she says, but, you know, he's a newborn Hebrew baby. I need to hire a nanny because that's what I do. I'm Pharaoh's daughter. I can't take care of a child by myself. I got to hire a nanny. And she goes, tells her servant, go find me a Hebrew nanny that can take care of this boy. And this will happen. She happens to find a Hebrew woman who was still nursing, who was able to bring the child the milk that it needed and take care of the child. And she was hired to raise Moses. And this happened to be Moses' mom. Now talk about favor. Think about it. You go from one day thinking you may lose the very thing you love the most. The enemy's out to attack, to steal, kill, and destroy from you. All of a sudden, God gives you an idea. Your baby is saved. Not only is your baby saved, but then you get hired to do the very thing you are meant to do for free. You talk about favor. When God moves in your life, she got hired and paid the very thing she was going to do for free. I'm telling you, the enemy may have a plan to destroy, but when you walk in the favor of God, things can change around in your life. She's getting paid to take care and raise her own son. He's saved. And of course, we know that he gets raised up in the court of Pharaoh, in the house of Pharaoh. He's a Hebrew child being raised in the Egyptian home. So he doesn't fit in with the Egyptians totally, and he doesn't fit in with the Hebrews totally. He's just kind of out there in between. Anyone ever feel that way? Don't really fit in here, don't really fit in there. And so the one day that when he was growing up as a young man, that he saw one of these slave masters beating one of his Hebrew. He took pity on him, and he was so upset that they were beating this Hebrew. It says that he, in defense, killed the slave master. And then he hid his body in the sand. And when Pharaoh found out that his son, the Hebrew son, had killed one of his slave masters, he sent word out. And so Moses panicked and he ran out of the city and said, I'm never coming back. And he spent 40 years on the backside of a desert in the Midianite country. He married a woman out there, began to have a son. He was promoted to the chief shepherd out there. All's good, right? And one day it says that he's out taking care of the sheep and he sees a bush on fire. Noticing that bush is burning, but it's not consumed. That's not right, because usually when a bush is on fire, it consumes. It either consumes it and burns away the ashes, but this just stayed on fire. It wasn't consuming the bush. So he goes up and he goes, this isn't ordinary. And he walks up to the bush to check it out. And all of a sudden, the voice comes out of the bush.
Moses.
Haven't you seen the movie? Come on. This is how it went.
Moses.
Yes, God, you know, and God speaks to Moses, begins to talk to him about how he's calling him out. He says, Moses, my people have been crying out. My people have been praying, asking for me to deliver them. And I am sending you. This is big because I want some of you to realize today this. Just because you haven't heard God speak to you doesn't mean he's not speaking to someone for you. Sometimes you hear, you say, God, when are you going to answer my prayer? God, I don't hear you talking back. I feel like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling. They're not going anywhere. Don't discount that God does hear your cry. God does see your tears. God does hear your prayers. And you never know when he's working on a Moses. You never know when he's working on somebody who's going to bring you an answer you're looking for. Just because he's not talking to you directly doesn't mean he's not listening to you and he's not hearing you. Because Scripture says he hears every prayer. He sees every tear. He hears every cry. And he knows. He says, Moses, my people have been crying out to me. And now it's time to end this cycle. It's time for this bad cycle to come to an end. And this is what you got to realize today, that all bad cycles have an expiration date. Because help's on the way. If you're a Christian today, all bad cycles have an expiration date. And God is wanting to expire and break some bad cycles in your life so that you can walk free. He's never wanting you to walk in bondage to sin. He doesn't want you to walk a slave to your past. He doesn't want you to walk a slave to the guilt in your life. You're more than just a victim. You're more than just a mistake. God sees you as a promised child, and he's calling greatness out of you. And he wants to break those bad cycles out of your life and raise you up to get to your promised land. Help is on the way. Turn to your neighbor and say, help's on the way. Come on, tell them with conviction. Say, you've been stuck way too long. You've been stuck way too long. God is calling you out of your bad cycle. Enough's enough. Some of you haven't entered into your fifth season because God has got 5 seasons for every Christian. He's got the spring season. He's got the fall season. He's got the winter season, the summer season. But for the Christian, he also has a due season that Scripture talks about, that we walk in our due season, that it's the timing that we have, that we walk out of the bad cycle and walk into the promise that God has planned for our life. Some of you got to declare, you know what, it's my season. I am breaking out of this cycle. I am going to align myself up with the cycle breaker and allow God to break this addiction in my life, to break this bad cycle. I have circled this mountain long enough. I'm ready to go forward. I am ready to move on. God had promised his children of Israel the promised land, the land of Canaan. He had given us this land of Canaan. And he takes them on a journey. He calls them out. They've done all the, Moses has done all the you know, plagues that come, you know, and the blood on the doorstep, on the doorways, doorposts, and all these things have happened. They've crossed over the Red Sea, and now God takes them on a journey. And he takes them on a journey. His original journey that he was taking them on, scholars have studied this path and said, if they had followed their path, God was taking them on an 11-day detour so they would have to avoid, they could avoid the camp of the Philistines, and they could avoid it and take 11 days around, and they could be in the promised land in 11 days. The original time it would have taken them to get to the promised land would have been 11 days. But because of their bad cycles had not been broken in their life, they spent 40 years. How many think that's a bad cycle? Stuck in the desert for 40 years. Stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years are stuck out there because they refused to get out of their cycle. See, the problem is they had a vision problem. The children of Israel had a vision problem. Their vision keeps them stuck in the cycle. They know that Canaan flows with milk and honey. That would have been a great thing because they were the first time in 40 years they could have walked into a land. They could have walked into a land where, you know what, they are getting milk and honey daily. All they do is thank you, God, for your blessing. God, thank you for the land of great fruit and produce. God, thank you for the land of milk and honey. God, thank you. Instead, they had to deal with manna. They had to ask and they received manna every day. 40 years. I don't care how good the manna may have tasted. 40 years, the same meal. 40 years, the same meal. Day in, day out. 40 years. And God says, all right, I'm going to take you to a place where the fruit is so juicy. You're going to be every day at a farmer's market going, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. I love you. But yet they cannot get to this place. One problem. They see the giants there. They see the giants, the obstacles in their way. You see, isn't it amazing that many times God does this to us, that he calls you and I to go to a place, and he'll say, all right, I'm calling you out. I've got a better place for you. And so we follow him out. We step out on faith, and we get all the way out in the middle of this thing, and then all of a sudden we see the giants that we didn't know was going to be there. And God's really good about that. God's really good about not showing us that part, is he? He's real good about pulling us out and challenging us to go out, but he doesn't always show us the giants that are waiting for us. Why? Because he knows you had never left. If he just showed you every obstacle you had to face to get to the place he's calling you to be, some of you would have stayed in that bad cycle for years because of fear, because of intimidation, because of the obstacle. You'd be like, man, there's no way I can face that. I'll just stay here a slave and be content. See, they were allowing the giants to intimidate them. They were allowing the giants to keep them from the promise that God had for them. They were allowing the giants to bring a spiritual intimidation, a physical intimidation. God was calling them to a greater place. Look what they said. We are as grasshoppers in our sights and in their sights. Remember, we read it in the yellow a while ago. They said, we're just as grasshoppers. And we're not talking about the good grasshopper, as Miyagi would say. These are not students, okay? We're talking about, they're thinking we are so spiritually small and physically small, they just step on us and it's over, okay? He says, we're just grasshoppers. Let me ask you this question. They were sent out to spy the land, correct? Did they go and interview their enemy? Did they go out and interview the people? No, they were in hiding. They were in hiding, looking around, trying to scope things out and hiding. They're not out spying. Hey, come here. Let me ask you, what's your opinion of us? But they said, isn't it amazing? The 10 negative spies come back and said this. They said, we're just as grasshoppers in their sight. That's the way we see ourselves, and that's the way they see us. Who did they ask? Because if you look in Scripture, Scripture says that the people had already known. The children of Israel already had a reputation of God being on their side. They already knew that God was delivering. They already knew what happened to Pharaoh's army. The giants were already intimidated by the children of Israel. Read in the Scripture. It goes back and talks about it. Well, their God delivered them from Pharaoh. They were already scared of them, but they allowed the 10 negative spies to come back and say, oh, they see us as grasshoppers. So this is the problem. Just because you haven't heard, go to the next point here. When you have a vision problem, listen, when you have a vision problem, you assume everyone else sees you the way you see yourself. See, when you're stuck in a rut, when you're stuck in a bad cycle, you assume everybody else sees you the way you see yourself. You see yourself as a victim, and everybody else sees me as a victim. You see yourself stuck and hurt because of a divorce, and everybody else sees me stuck and hurt. I see myself as unlovable, they see me as unlovable. I see myself as a person who can never obtain the things of God, and everybody else knows that. I see myself as small, unimportant, and everybody else sees me the same way. No, that's what the enemy's trying to do. That's what the enemy's trying to get you to see. That's what the enemy wants you to think, because he's trying to intimidate you. He wants you to think everybody else thinks about you the same way you think about yourself. When all reality, they're saying, you know what? I hope they don't come our way, because we've seen what God has done on their behalf, and we don't want any part of their God. We don't want any part of that fight. But the enemy comes back and he intimidates. He brings the intimidation. Look at this. The enemy uses intimidation. The enemy tries to use intimidation to get us to avoid a fight that's already been fixed. The enemy tries to use intimidation to get you to avoid a fight that's already been fixed. I believe Isaiah said it like this. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean what? It doesn't mean that I won't get hit. It doesn't mean I might not have some hurts. It doesn't mean I may not get knocked down. But the Word of God is very clear when it comes to the Christian that no weapon formed against you and I shall prosper. The scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let me give you a little insight today. The fight's been fixed. If you don't give up and you keep God first in your life and you cry out to God and you pursue the things of him, the fight's been fixed. You win. We win. But the enemy comes and gets in your mind and says, oh, you're just a grasshopper. No, I got big plans. God has got a promised land for me. God's calling me to do this. God wants, I'm going to have a great marriage. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. The things of God are coming to my life. And he was like, no, you're not. You're just going to be a victim. See, your mama, she didn't do any better. You're not going to do any better. Your dad didn't do any better. You're not going to do any better. Your brothers and sisters, they live this way. You're going to live this way. Your family, they suffer this addiction. You're going to be in this addiction. And the enemy makes you look like a grasshopper. Well, that's probably true. I can't. No. You got to realize I am in a new bloodline. That I have been bought with a price. All things have been made new. The fight has been fixed. And God is calling you to your Canaan. God is calling you and I to our promised land. We got to quit letting the enemy intimidate. See, when you allow the enemy to intimidate you, you go in and you judge a fight according to your ability. That's what they're doing. The spies are saying, according to our ability, we look like grasshoppers, which was true. But see, they were not supposed to be judging it according to their ability. They were supposed to be judging it according to God's ability. They should have walked in and said, man, this is the best place ever. There's some big guys there, but I remember what happened in Egypt. I remember when God sent the blood over the doors, the doorposts, and he delivered us. I remember when the Red Sea parted this way and we walked across on the dry ground. I remember when Pharaoh chased us and the waters enclosed and drowned up all of Pharaoh's army. I remember when I was thirsty and God brought water out from the rock. I remember when we didn't know which way to go and he brought a pillar of fire down by night and showed us how to get there. I remember. So with God, this thing is possible. That should have been. That's the way Joshua and Caleb saw it. But the 10 negative spies said, no, we can't. And it kept them stuck in their bad cycle. See, the majority of people were stuck in their cycle. The scripture says there was close to 1 million of them. Can you realize 1 million people were stuck in a bad cycle based off the opinion of 10 people? You tell me a negative report doesn't fly. You tell me a negative words don't have influence. 10 negative people kept almost 1 million people in a bad cycle. See, the problem is this. Never being forced to look at somebody else's vision. Aaron, let me see your glasses this morning. Just trade glasses. Woo. Not as bad as the first one this morning. I put on somebody this morning who was like, I couldn't see a thing. You're a little bit blurry, out of focus, but it's not as bad as it was. But you know what? I couldn't live this way. Can you see clearly? Can't see clearly. Why? Because it's not what? It's not your glasses, right? This is not your prescription. See, the problem is this. Listen to me really clearly. The problem is this. Every morning when we get up, we're putting on somebody else's glasses for us. And we're letting somebody else dictate in our life how we see the Lord, how we see the promised land, how we see the things of God for our life. I guess I'll never be able to go clearly to where God's destined for my life. Why? Because I got to put on these glasses and I can't see clearly. But see, when I put on my glasses for my life, I can see clearly. So we got to stop putting on everybody else's glasses for our life. We got to stop letting the 10 negative spies put glasses on us and affect our vision. And so, you know what? I'm going to learn to put on God's view for my life. And everything I see in Scripture says, I can and I will. Everything in Scripture says, I will survive and I will overcome. I shall walk in victory. I shall smile again. I shall weep through a night, but I'll have times of mourning, but I will return with joy. I will overcome. This is the victory that we have in Jesus. And I've got to learn to put those glasses on and quit let everybody else shove into me way I believe. This is really what's true about your life. No, it's not. It's not what God's word says about me. See, the problem was they were content with staying in their cycle. They were content with staying there. Let's just stay here and eat manna for the rest of our life and wander around in the wilderness and desert. And this is the problem. They didn't know they were stuck in a bad cycle. Want to know why? Because everyone was stuck in a bad cycle. That's why it's important who do you have in your circle. You get people in your circle of influence who are influencing your life, who are stuck in bad cycles, and all of you look at each other and go, this is life, this is normal. We'll all be stuck in bad cycles together, and you don't know you're in a bad cycle. But you get around people who've overcome some things in their life. You get around people who have overcome some obstacles and are bettering themselves than God and are walking in the promises of God and seeing victory in their life. You go, man, I want that. I don't want to live in this bad cycle. I want to go to a new glory. I want to step up to a new place in God. There's a better life for me. There's a better promise of the Spirit for me. There's a better promised land that God's got for me. You see, God is calling us. This is the problem right here. I want you to write this down. I think this is good. The Holy Spirit dropped this in me this week. I want to share with you. A changed heart gets me to heaven, but a changed mind gets me to my promised land. See, at salvation, my spirit is redeemed right away. At salvation, my spirit's redeemed and I'm on my way to heaven. That doesn't change. But in order for me to walk out into my promise that God has for me here on this earth, for me to walk to the place of promised land that God's got for me, I've got to learn to change my mind. The children of Israel, they couldn't go there. 40 years, God said, I gotta kill off all the old negative thinkers. And he waited 40 years to get rid of that generation to bring in a generation who were going to be thinking like Joshua and Caleb. He had to wait 40 years and kill them off and bring in a generation of positive thinkers. Why? Their mind was changed. Their mind remembered what God had done. We read this last week. Let me read it to you again in a different version. Romans 12:2. Don't conform to the pattern. Don't put on everybody else's glasses, okay? That's what it's saying here. Don't put on everybody else's glasses of this world, but be changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when our mind is changed, when our mind's being renewed and by God, what happens? Then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good will, His pleasing will, His perfect will for our life, our promised land. It comes when my mind changes. And so if you want to stay stuck in your cycle, you'll be out there in your wilderness for 40 years. But you say, you know what? I'm going to allow God to break some bad cycles in my life. I'm going to allow Him to begin to renew my mind. How do I do that? We've got to use a different map. When I was in Dallas last week, I was trying to find a cold stone. How many think that's of God right there, right now? Sweet, some sweet ice cream mixed with some fresh strawberries. Oh, hallelujah. We're about to break up right here. So I Googled, you know, the nearest cold stone. I wanted to find directions how to get there. I pulled up the map and I was trying to read it. I'm downtown Dallas. I'm trying to figure out how to get to the, I'm turning it sideways, blowing it up, you know, pinching it in, whole thing out. I'm trying to figure it out how to get there. I'm trying to follow. This doesn't make any sense to me, you know. The reason why was somehow when I was Googling the cold stone of Dallas, it gave me the cold stone of Houston. So I had Houston's map inside of Dallas. How many know that's going to cause you a lot of confusion? When I figured it out, I'm like, oh, okay. And I've got the right Dallas map, and all this makes sense. Right here, just around the block, around the corner. Okay. But for our life, that's the problem. We're trying to use everybody else's roadmap to get to our promised land. We're trying to use everybody else's glasses to get to our promised land. When God has designed already a roadmap, He's already given us a GPS. It's called His Word. And if I'll just open up my GPS and begin to read what it says about me, begin to change my mind according to the Word of the Lord, I will change my destination. I will change the place I'm at. I get out of my bad cycles by putting in my circle what God says about me. I get out of my bad cycles by delivering. God, you have brought deliverance to me. God, you have brought healing to my mind. You have come to set me free from the rejection I faced through my divorce. You've come to seal my heart after going through much abuse in my life. God, you helped me forgive those who I've been bitter at for many years. God, you have brought forgiveness when I thought I was walking around guilty for my moral failure. God, you have brought forgiveness and restoration. Your word says that all things become new in you. Your word says I am an overcomer. Your word says that there is no enemy I will face spiritually that I cannot overcome according to the power of the word of the Lord. Whose GPS are you using? Are you using everybody else's GPS? No, you got a GPS. I've got a GPS. I've got to hold it close and I've got to say, I've got to change my mind, change my direction. I'm going to ask the magicians to come this morning. I want to ask you the question one more time that I asked earlier today. How do you see it? How do you see it? Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Some of you have been letting yourself be seen as a grasshopper for many years. And God is ready to set you loose from that today. I want you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you the question. I asked this morning, and we had four people who raised their hands. And maybe you're here today, and this fits you as well. I said, Pastor, I've just got to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never asked Him to be Lord of my life. Never asked Him to forgive me my sins. And today, I want to become a Christian. I want to start this journey. The first part of breaking the bad cycle is just, first of all, admitting that I need a Savior, that I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior to redeem me. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, we won't embarrass you one bit today. Nobody's looking but me. I want to give you a chance to respond. Can you just raise your hand today and say, it's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise a high if that's you today. There you go. Thank you. Raise a high if I can see it. One more time. If you haven't raised it yet, raise your hand right now and say, I'm ready to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? I'm going to ask you one last time. It's the last time I'm going to ask. If you haven't raised your hand yet, raise it right now and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you, guys. We're going to say this. Thank you for raising your hand. We're going to say this prayer out loud with you. Those who raise your hands, I want you to repeat after me. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you today. To help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life. All of my sin. All of my hurt. All of my dreams. Everything I give to you today. I believe you are the Messiah. God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, let's give him a hand. Yeah, welcome to the family of God. It's great news. This is why we're here today. This is why we're here today, to see people make a decision to give their heart to Jesus. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to break off this grasshopper mentality. I'm ready for the spirit of the grasshopper to break off of my life. I'm ready to walk in freedom. I'm ready to walk free from bad cycles. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. If you want to declare that in your life, say, I'm breaking free from this mentality of walking in fear, intimidation, come to the front and join us today. If you believe you're a son and daughter of the King, say, I'm going to walk as a Pharaoh today. Pharaoh reached down to the Nile River and grabbed the son and adopted him. We've been adopted as sons and daughters of the King today. If this is you in your life, you say, I'm ready to walk in that freedom. I'm ready to walk not as a victim, but victorious, knowing that God is setting victory in my life. Squeeze up to the front, guys, and spread out. Lots of people coming in. Say, this is my time. This cycle's being broken in my life. I'm ready to be free today. I want you to declare it out of your mouth that I am a son. I'm a daughter of the King. Come on, let's worship the Lord together. What I want you to do, I want you to put your hands over your eyes right now. Put your hands over your eyes. I want you to get to pray over yourself right now. Say, Father, I pray right now that you will help my vision to change. Help me to break the grasshopper mentality. Help me to quit seeing myself as a victim. Help me to keep seeing myself as small. But God, help me to see myself as a son and daughter of the King. Help me to see myself the way you see me, as victorious, as a spiritual giant that you're building. And Father, I pray right now that no longer will we be a victim to any mistake. We don't see ourselves as failures. We don't see ourselves as the victims of abuse. We don't see ourselves as people who have blown it. But God, we see ourselves as children who have been adopted into the kingdom of God. And you are raising us up. God, you're changing our sight. You're changing our view. You're changing our vision. So Father, right now, change our vision. From this day forward, I pray that God, you would cause us to see the greatness in us. You cause us to see the greatness you're calling out of us. I come against any spirit of intimidation that the enemy's trying to bring in people's lives. And I pray that they be free from that in the name of Jesus Christ. Free, free in the name of Jesus. May our eyes see clearly your vision for our lives. In Jesus' name, come on, put your hands together, declare, I'm a kingdom child. Turn to give somebody a big high five or a hug and say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for the gathering.